Turn this morning to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 4. Lord gave me this last Monday morning, and then I couldn't finish it. I said, I know there's more, and sure enough, the Lord gave me a postscript, which you'll hear at the end of this message, and go from there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 through verse 31, and then the first verse of chapter 5. And title the message, It Is Finished. Starting in verse 19, My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, saith the scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And then in chapter 5, the first verse, he said, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. These are just glorious verses. And there's so much meaning to them. And for the child of God, it's like being set free from a life sentence, from a death sentence. I see in Scripture but two sons upon this earth. There's always two sons upon this earth. You have the children of God and you have the children of the devil. We have Cain and Abel. We've got Jacob and Esau. Isaac and Ishmael spoken of here. Two seeds, two sons. The wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats. And that's it. That's all. There is no, you might say, children of a purgatory. There's no gray race. It's all black and white with God's word, with God's truth. Many would say to me, but I'm not under the law. And many have for a long, long time. But then I would ask, well then, why are you yet sinners? Now there's a lot to be said there. Because I meet people and I speak to people and they're, well, I'm just a sinner. And I'm going to bring this up down. You know, I spoke this morning at the first two services. I don't know why people don't get this. Why they always believe their mind, why they always their own understanding, why they believe certain men and they hear what other people believe and what other people think, but they just totally disregard the Word of God. And the Word of God says plainly in John 9:31, God heareth not sinners. Did you ever read it? But here they are, you know, they're all, well, who are they praying to and for what reason? God heareth not sinners. Is not the law for who? Sinners. Are you a sinner? No, well, it doesn't apply. You say, oh, you're antinomian. No, I'm telling you the word of God. This is a great conundrum in the church today. You've got the legalists. They live as Pharisees under the law. And then there are those who claim this liberty while yet claiming to be sinners. But few, as Paul states in verse 27, are truly free in Christ Jesus. Those in Christ Jesus are laws unto themselves. You'll find in the book of Romans. I remember, you've heard me say before, it was up in Tennessee in that house, and I read that thing. God revealed that thing to me, and I went running through the house, shouting, a law unto myself, you see. And that's the liberty of being in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, you see. Do you ever read, you know, in Psalm, I believe it's 89:6, I don't know, in the 89th Psalm. I have said, ye are gods. Now, I've heard that preached before. I've never heard it preached in a Baptist church. I've heard it preached in a Pentecost church. And they use that thing for many wrong reasons. But I've said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Folks, that is a glorious thing. It's one of the most, what could be more glorious? A little G God, are you not? Are many led by the Son of God, are they not led by the Spirit, are they not the sons of God? Listen, if you be truly in the vine, you remember that? The true vine, Christ Jesus. Is Christ the author of sin? God forbid. You would declare Christ in the midst of your corruption? How is it that one can't speak of the mystic majesty that dwells within them? Of the time. I can speak of the time that I met Christ. And it was supernatural beyond belief. It wasn't some symbolic thing said in a church. Are you not grafted in the vine? Would any part of that vine, that body, remain corrupt? God forbid. Are there whores, liars, cheats, and such in the vine? I'm asking you. Folks, you cannot have it both ways. What then does it mean to be in Christ? This book we're in, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, the life I live in the flesh. The life I live in the flesh. How convenient it is that we twist Scripture to our corrupt natures. That man twists the word of God to his corrupt nature. Most are in the vine, all right, but I find it the one with the poison gourds on it. Folks, there's no poison fruit on that vine. It's the true vine. And somehow you get grafted on an olive tree, God will cut you out if you don't belong to him, you see. Listen, once the wild be grafted into the true, it remains not wild, but it becomes true, as true as from the blood from which it's fed. Now hear me, Jacob was never Esau. Not ever. And that's the difference between the Arminian and the Calvinist. They say Esau can become Jacob. They say the goat can become a sheep. And they say the tares can become a wheat. But in truth, the only thing that can happen in Christ is the sinner can become a saint. And you're not both. And thus we find that the church today is filled with the poison gourds, the so-called twin nature people, two natures. What, are you going to have two natures in heaven? You remember the birthright belonged it belonged to Esau. He was the firstborn. Belonged to Ishmael. He was the firstborn. It belonged to Cain. He was the firstborn. But if you'll remember that, Reuben was the firstborn, but the birthright went elsewhere. Much like now, you could say the Jews to the Gentiles. We became the heirs at the New Testament. He made a new will and he made a New Testament. The Bible says the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright in 1 Chronicles 5:1. Do you see? For many are called, but few are chosen. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11 and verse 12. Paul said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Boy, I can't tell you how glorious that is. And if you've ever been to a Bible school, as I did, you'll understand how the gospel, I didn't get this gospel from that Bible school. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And such is it I received the gospel. It wasn't by man. And over the years, I've had to separate the wheat from the chaff. And thus it is within our own bodies, within our own selves. That's why he tells us, examine our own. Know ye not that the Spirit of Christ lives in you, but you be reprobate, you see? The gospel is preached by man, and the Armenian, he reaches out and grabs it. But you know what happens? He becomes like the wedding guest that shows up and didn't have on the wedding garment. You see, the bride, the true bride, is made ready by God for his son, by God the Father for his son. How many have made themselves righteous, and then they claim to be sinners, and they walk around dirty brides? Never seen a dirty bride. And they declare themselves saved. No. Sinners. No. Dirty brides. As Ishmael, as Esau. The Bible says that the prodigal, he came to himself. Folks, he wasn't listening to "Just As I Am." He was in the hog pen. You think he ever went back? Come on. You think that woman caught in adultery, Jesus told her, said, go and sin no more? And we have preachers tell, well, you can't do that. Oh, so Christ is telling me to do something that I cannot do. He's telling me something that's impossible. He gives me a command that's impossible. Peter, Mary Magdalene, so many of the more, once they were converted, folks, it was finished. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Paul's asking you. I'm asking you. Whosoever is born of God, 1 John chapter 3, doth not commit sin. Oh, I love to hear him preach on that. What the old preacher say? When a man starts to tell you what scripture means, you're fixing to hear a lie. He said, I'm not smart enough to know what it means, but he said, I'm smart enough to know what it says. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And in this are the two sons always identified. He said the children of God and the children of the devil. You either abide in the vine or you do not. I had a pastor tell me this week that he's always in sin. Hey, John. That he's always in sin. He said, as we all are, he said, we're both talking to each other and we're in sin because we don't love the Lord thy God with all our heart. That's what he said. Also said that to get in their church, that they had to observe you for a year before you could become a member of that church to make sure that you weren't practicing sin. Well, I'm wondering how he joined. If he doesn't love the Lord God with all his heart and he considers that sin, well, how did he join? Why does he pray? God heareth not sinners, you see. By that man's assessment, the Lord himself would be in sin, because God said that those in, within that, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbors yourself. You remember? He said all the law is contained in those two commandments right there. Isn't that what he said? All law. You see? But the Lord said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. Do you see? John. Hey. I hate them with a perfect hatred. By the way, he said all the laws contain these verses. So if you break one, well, then you've broken them. You're the biggest lawbreaker there ever was. You see? So this preacher and everyone else in his church, they break all the laws daily. Hope they're under the law. You see? May as well be in bondage in Egypt. May as well go into Babylonian captivity. We just read, folks, about the liberty that's in Christ Jesus. Liberty from what? What on God's earth did God save you from? My rejoicing is that God saved me from my sins. Said he saved his people from their sins. He didn't come to save me from hell. He didn't come to save me from disease. He didn't even come to save me from death. He came to save me from my sins. And he completed that thing. And that's all Christ died for. My sins. Am I going to go back and crucify him again and again? Now, I'd like to read a few words from this fella, William Law. William Law lived, he was in the Church of England, and he lived from, just to give you a time perspective, 1686 to 1761. And this little book here is called The Power of the Spirit. And I'm just going to read you some a few highlighted verses. He has a little one chapter in this book, and it has to do with the necessity of sinning. The necessity of sinning. He said, the pleader for imperfection further supports himself by saying, no man in the world, Christ accepted, was ever without sin. And so say I too. And with the apostle, I also add that if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. That's the first thing, you know. And amen. I'm in total agreement. Amen. But then it is as true to say that we make him a liar if we deny the possibility of our ever being freed from the necessity of sinning. For the same word of God says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he either has or he hadn't. Either does or he doesn't. But surely, he that is left under a necessity of sinning as long as he lives can no more be said to be cleansed from all unrighteousness than a man who must be a cripple till his dying day can be said to be cured of all his lameness. Do you see? John. What weaker conclusion can well be made than to infer that because Christ was the only man that was born and lived free from sin, therefore no man on earth can be raised to a freedom from sinning? No better than concluding that because the old man is everyone's birth from Adam, therefore there can be no such thing as a new man created under righteousness through Christ Jesus, living and being all in all in Him. No better sense or logic than to say that because our Redeemer could not find us anything else but sinners, therefore He must of all necessity leave us to be sinners. Now, say that this new creature, who is in such union, communion, and power with God because of Christ, is in Him, and He in Christ, as really as the vine is in the branches. That's what we just preached on. And the branches in the vine. Say that He must be a servant of sin as long as He lives in this world. Then your absurdity will be as great. Then your absurdity will be as great as if you had said that Christ in us must partake of our corruption. Or what an instructed divine must he be who considers this old natural man as the Christian? For that which is born of God sinneth not. To what end do we pray? That this day we may fall into no sin, if no such day can be had? What benefit in praying that God's will be done on earth as in heaven, if the earth, as long as it lasts, must have as many sinners as it has men upon it? And he concludes, in every fallen man, be he where he will or who he will, is yet in his fallen state, and his whole life is a mere Egyptian bondage and Babylonian captivity, till the heavenly church or new birth from above has taken him out of it. Folks, that's what's wrong with the church. They don't know the doctrine of the new birth. They've never had a practical, spiritual experience with Christ Jesus. They've only been declared like John MacArthur. Well, you don't really get washed in the blood, symbolic. And that's the new birth they've encountered. It's symbolic. So, of course, I'm just an old sinner. Well, bless God, get saved. Get converted. Because if you die an old sinner, you go to hell. And God won't even hear your prayers now. I'm reminded what the old preacher once said to me when I asked him about, it troubled me because, my own conversion was a Damascus Road experience. And I said, preacher, I meet people, they don't have this. And I said, is this how? He said, brother, I don't know any other way to get saved. And you know what? I don't either. He said, there is no other way. And there isn't. On June the 3rd, 1985, I went down an old man. I went down a chief of sinners. But folks, I got up another man. I got up a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so ever since that day, 35 years ago, all things are become new. And folks, I can rightly declare that on June 3rd, 19, it was finished. Now, I've been religious before that. But on June 3rd, 1985, it was finished. Preacher, people thought, preacher, you better watch what you say. No, I don't need to watch what I say. I never had to watch what I say when I was a sinner. I was a sinner. I never had to try to be a sinner. Hear me. I've never had to try to be a child of God. Now I have to try to sin. It's not my nature. And if I sin today, it's willful. Because it's finished. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Folks, I pray you get this thing settled. Because the church is, they're filled with sinners. There's no sinners in heaven. When Jesus said it's finished, it's finished. Father, I thank you, Lord. The salvation is of you. That you came to save sinners from their sin. Not in word, in truth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.